Well, good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Today we're going to close out our series that we've been doing on the book of Joshua. I hate to kind of see the series come to an end. Joshua is such a great book. My lesson today is titled, Choose You This Day Whom You Will Serve. Now, in Joshua chapters 23 and 24, we have Joshua giving his farewell speech. He knows that death is imminent, and so he has some final words that he wants to say before he dies. If you knew that death was imminent for you, and you had an opportunity to speak some words to people you love, what would you say? Do you even know what you would say? Well, I looked at some people who uttered some last words. The first person I want us to consider for a moment is Jesus. Jesus uttered several statements on the cross, seven in all. I only want to mention the first one. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You see, God is a forgiver. And the cross was all about forgiveness. And if there was anything that mankind needed to hear that day, it was those words. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The Bible also says that the wages or consequences or the earnings for a life of sin is death. Man is in need of forgiveness. I'm grateful for those last words of Jesus. But let me give you some famous people in the past, some last words they spoke. Some don't mean much at all. A couple have some significance. Steve Jobs said, oh wow, three times. Now, I don't know if that's in that transition phase, you know, where you're leaving this world and going to the next and you realize, oh my goodness, there is another side. Maybe that's what was on his mind when he said, oh wow, we don't know. And I'm not saying, I'm just, you know, suggesting that could be like, oh my goodness. Here's some meaningful words, at least to Nancy. P.T. Barnum. His second wife, Nancy. This is what he said to her. Nancy, I want you to know that my last thoughts are of you. Now that's romantic, right? That meant a lot to Nancy, who, by the way, was 40 years younger than P.T. Barnum. So he had him a young lady. Winston Churchill said, I'm bored with it all. This is one I really like. This one made me laugh. Spike Milligan said, I told you I was ill. That's funny when you think about it. It took two chapters for Joshua to say all that he wanted to say. In chapter 23, he gathered together all the leaders of the children of Israel. And then in chapter 4, he gathered all the tribes of Israel and the leaders of Israel. We're only going to be looking at chapter 24. Now, he says a lot of good stuff in chapter 23. All right? And so, go back and read that on your own. He really does. He says a lot of fantastic stuff in chapter 23. We're only going to focus on 24. Joshua has been a great leader. How do you follow a man like Moses? Because that's what Joshua had to do. Well, Joshua did a really good job following Moses, filling Moses' shoes. In fact, I think Moses would be very proud of the leader that Joshua had become. Joshua was a man who finished strong. Joshua's time is about up. And if you are a good leader or a good father, then you will want to leave something behind. You will want to leave something to the next generation. And so the question is, what do you leave behind? Now, some might leave money. And that's okay, and that's good, and that certainly will help the next generation. But there's something a lot more significant than money that you can leave them behind. And it is simply this. Leave them behind a good spiritual foundation. That is the way you bless the next generation. And so Joshua begins by recounting the story of their history. So in Joshua chapter 24, let's read a few verses here together. Beginning at verse 1, listen as he recounts the history of Israel. Joshua 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. I think it's interesting that he does this at Shechem. Why? Because Shechem is the place where God made the promise to Abraham, all the land I'm going to give you. That's where the promise was made. And that's where Abraham built his first altar to the Lord. It was at Shechem. Genesis 12. Verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods." And so he brings up Terah, Abram's father, and Abram had other brothers, Nahor and Haran, and they were idolaters. And Abraham was also an idolater. I don't think that he was exempted. I think he worshipped idols just like his father and his brothers did. But God saw something in Abraham, and God called Abraham from beyond the river. Verse 3 says, "I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants, and I gave him Isaac." And then to Isaac, it says he gave Jacob and Esau. And to Esau, he gave the mountains of Seir. But notice, but Jacob and his children, they went down to Egypt. And they were there for a period of time. He says, "Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought them out." And so this is God delivering his people after many, many years of being in Egyptian bondage. "And then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And notice, your eyes saw what I did in Egypt." He says, "And then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time." That was 40 years. "And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwell on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, He continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgazites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. And then I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you. And also the two kings of the Amorites. And I wondered what in the world the hornet was. I mean, it doesn't say hornets, just the hornet. If he said hornets, then maybe it was hornets. And certainly, you know, if you send enough hornets, that'll drive any army away, right? They get all up underneath your armor and, I mean, sting you to death. They could surely put a hurting on you, but I don't think that's what he's talking about there. I think that he's probably talking about the fear of God. Perhaps it was a plague. Maybe it was the angel of the Lord. We don't know. There's all kinds of ideas, but whatever it was, it worked. He says, I've given you the land for which you did not labor, cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them and eat of the vineyards and the olive groves, which you did not plant. And so notice as he's recounting their history, and he says, you're eyewitnesses. You saw all that God did. Now his speech builds and comes to a very important head. He brings them to a point of decision. Notice verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I love those words from Joshua. He brings them to the most important decision that they can make in life. It is said that God has no grandchildren. What is meant by that? Well, what is meant by that is no one can ride on the faith of their grandparents or their parents. Every person has to have their own faith in God. Each person must choose to serve the Lord. And so Joshua issues this challenge to the nation and says, choose you this day whom you will serve. We all need to have our own personal faith in God. Bob Dylan famously said in his song, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. He is 100% correct. 100% correct. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord. And that's what Joshua is saying. You've got to choose and you have got to decide. Jesus said no one can serve two masters. For either he will despise the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you have got to make a choice. When Yahweh gave the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, he said, you shall have no other gods before you. You see, God won't allow us to have other gods over here on the side. God says you're going to have to choose. It's me or it's them. But you have to choose. You have to decide. So who or what are you serving? Well, let me help you out with that a little bit. Paul gives us a great verse in Philippians 1:21. It's a verse you should know. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now let's think about that for just a moment. For me to live is, you fill in the blank. For me to live is happiness. For me to live is success. For me to live is pleasure. For me to live is money. What are you filling in that blank with? How are you spending your life? What are you truly living for? Joshua says, put away your gods and serve the true God. Now, why does Joshua say that? He says that because they have other gods. Notice verse 14 again. In verse 14, now listen to what he says. What he says here is really powerful. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. All right, listen to these verbs. Fear the Lord. Secondly, serve Him in sincerity and truth. And then look at what he says. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river. Serve the Lord. Now look at verse 23. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. Here's the thing about idolatry. It is extremely sneaky. It is extremely sneaky. And it sneaks up on all of us. And there are many times in our lives, and we may not realize it, but we're not only serving the Lord, but we're serving other gods in the process. And the Bible says you can't do that. You've got to make a choice. And so Joshua is challenging the people, put away these other gods. Now, if they weren't there, he wouldn't say, don't put them away. The fact that he's saying, put them away, says they're there. And he says, you've got to put them away. Now, I love what Joshua says in verse 15. And this had to be encouraging to the people. But Joshua says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. This is a non-negotiable for Joshua. Joshua didn't have a family meeting and sit down and say, now listen, everyone gets a vote here on what we do. That is not what happened in Joshua's household. Joshua stands up and says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You see, he is resolute in his decision. He's not fudging. He's not being unclear. Joshua is very clear about what his intentions are and what the intentions for the nation of Israel is. You serve the Lord. You see, your decision will impact the next generation. And that's why it's so important that this becomes a non-negotiable for us as well. We serve the Lord, period. And I believe that men in the church need to rise up and be the leaders that God calls them to be and lead your families. And you need to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That's what we do in our house. There is no other decision. This is what we do as a family. And man, God's people all over need to rise up and do this. Men have fallen down on the job of leadership. and men are simply not leading their families the way that they're supposed to. I want to turn your attention real quick to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to look at the Shema. And beginning in verse 4, Moses writes these words. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now notice verse 5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Now notice what he goes on to say. "And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You see, this is God's pattern for passing the truth along. He says, "You teach these things diligently to your children." It's vital that in households we teach our children, and we pass along a spiritual foundation that will be a blessing for the next generation. Because just leaving money behind is not a blessing. If that's all that we leave our children, it's just money. But we don't leave them a spiritual foundation. We don't teach them to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then we have failed in our duty as leaders. We need to pass along God's truth to each generation. We see what happens in the Bible when that doesn't happen. When a generation arises that does not know the Lord. And all you have to do is turn to the book of Judges and see what happens there. That's why we need to leave a good, solid foundation for the next generation. And there's nothing better that you can leave your kids than a love for God. To love God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Just as Joshua brings the children of Israel to a point of decision, we come to a point of decision. We have to choose. Just like Joshua and his generation needed to make a choice that day what they were going to do, we need to make a choice as well. Have you made the choice that you and your household will serve the Lord? If you've not made that choice, if you've not made that decision, I urge you to make that decision today. If you've never made Christ the Lord of your life by obedience to the gospel, I encourage you today to come and obey the gospel of Christ. We would love to assist you. We would love to talk to you about what God has done in Jesus Christ and how your sins can be wiped away and how you can be added to the family of God and how you can have a great future and a great life. We would love to do that with you. So if you have any need this morning whatsoever, make that known as we stand together and sing.